Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Monty, back at him. If you guys don't remember, last week, I had a little problem with Slim saying I wasn't motivated, which motivated me to go ahead and write this rap. This is called Slim's Confessions. Drop that shit, Slim.
Slim. You know I had to come back. So garbage.
God damn it. What the fuck?
My name is Flim and I'm a little dipshit. I'm sticky and I smell like a kid's bad shit. I talk like Mike Tyson, I gotta take a piff. The only thing real about my rap career is that it's a myth.
What?
I do a shitty New York accent, I should play for the Mets. I gotta go get a payment plan cause I can't pay off my debts. My patience is growing thin, so I decided to talk shit. My money's running slim with a dollar sign. Only got lint in my pockets. Damn. I gotta learn how to sell flooring because my music shit ain't sending me out touring. I'm gonna quit rapping now. The shit's mad boring.
Yeah.
He is so over it. He is so over it.
I hate everything about you.
Strictly bars.
Is that what you call that?
Strictly bars.
Your little diss track?
Slim's Confessions.
God damn it.
This beat's hard though.
Thank you. I made that. Maybe that's what I should stick with according to you? In AMMA.
Where's that energy from last week, Slim?
It's your boy Andrew with an S.
And it's Monty back at him with the bar, son.
Mars bars, Three Musketeers.
Yo, I had a deep fried Three Musketeers.
What?
This weekend.
Where?
I went to a pumpkin,
that pumpkin
patch. Yeah. Yep.
Shit.
Bro.
That sounds wild.
I'm talking the smoothest thing you've ever eaten.
Like butter.
Literally, but deep fried. It was delicious. And I had a corn dog, because I always got to get a corn dog.
Okay. You can deep fry anything.
You don't like corn dogs?
Hit or miss.
What do you mean hit or miss?
Sometimes they're good. Sometimes just like soggy around the hot dog. And
oh, what?
Dude, the fairs that I've been to.
So my dad, back in the day, my dad bowled like every place in this fucking side of the Mississippi. Well, he used to go to this place called North Lanes, and bro, when I say these motherfuckers had the mini corn dog recipe.
Ooh, I do like minis.
Oh my gosh, they were mind-blowing every time.
Nice.
But yeah, how was your weekend? We're recording you earlier than we usually do, I guess.
Yeah, on a Tuesday. It was all right. I mean, I worked, but...
That ain't gonna be happening no more longer.
Yeah, last day's Friday. Let someone catch me in a bad mood Friday, or no, I won't be in a bad mood. I'll be in a great mood. But someone,
let somebody bring a bad mood upon
if,
you.
If someone brings the vibes that I'm not feeling
beef.
In my way,
it's beef.
I'll end up on the fucking news. That's it's how beef. I'm about to go off on someone. Local JCPenney employee called this lady every curse word in the book. That's what the headline in the Canton repository is going to say.
Repository?
That's what it's called. I don't know. Like, we got the Akron Beacon Journal. There's Canton repository.
That sounds like a place you send somebody to die.
Sounds like something you put up your butt.
Yeah. Very close. Very close to one of those.
Oh, that's my cool. God. But, yeah, other than that, we watched the fights. Mm-hmm. What did you think about them overall? Rating of this card?
Card as a whole?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to give it like a... What are we doing? Like 1 out of 10? Or yeah, like 1 out of 5?
1 out of 10.
1 out of 10, I'd give it like a 7.7. Almost an 8.
All right.
It's close.
I did like the production, though, when they were like zooming the guy, like when they were like... The tail of the tape, and they would. It was like that 3D model that was floating through the crowd. Yeah. That was sick.
I feel like they've done a couple of those this year, but like different
rarely.
Ones.
Yeah, random,
like,
randomly.
Right. Like, why is the production like consistently? Are they just trying to find something that like works? You know.
Maybe.
And what happened to that 360 cam we had the one time that was so innovative and cool? Why haven't we seen that again?
Oh yeah.
Like when Masvidal had the knockout knee, right, they had the 360 cam. Perfect.
Maybe it's only in Vegas.
We need to have that everywhere.
True.
Because I mean, that's a must-have, dude. Like Phantom Cam. I want it to be like PFL, how they had the glasses, right? Wasn't that them who did that?
Where the ref was glasses. Yeah.
Well, I think the UFC should do, like, take a play out of football's book and get the, like, Phantom Cam that's, like, on a string right above the shit, like, where it's not near them, but it's, like, right there, like, almost in the ring. I think that'd be really cool.
That'd be tight. I'd like that. Hire us, UFC. We got ideas.
Yeah, right. Oh, and Slim won $116 on DraftKings. Go off.
Yeah, boy.
Wasn't it 116?
14.
14. I can give you a little more credit.
Bought a lottery ticket today. I got the bug.
You put some back in DraftKings, right?
No.
You deposited it all.
Oh, no, I lied. I deposited 100. I withdrew 100. I left the 14 in there. Yeah. We'll bet on that this weekend and whatever.
So, since Slim is the new guru on DraftKings, we can't do it because they're not out right now.
I was going to ask you, like, what should I bet on this Browns game? But boy, am I glad I didn't.
Yeah, no.
Do you want to talk about that?
No. me and everybody else have already decided that we're going to act like that never even happened.
I had to quit watching that one. But
what was I doing before that?
DraftKings, we're going to...
Oh, yeah. Man... I was looking today because I want Slim to be the DraftKings guru. I want him to give you guys proper advice on who to pick in DraftKings.
Hey, don't put that on me.
They're not out yet. So
I'll be giving you the wrong answers so I can join your league and win. No, shout out to City Kickboxing, though. They went 3-0 for me, and that's really what pushed me over the edge.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good one. I was out of it. Like, me and Myers were out almost immediately, but it was like a 3-man race between you, Chad, and Jack, and Slim pulled away.
I think I'm never going to bet on heavyweights again. After
me either.
After seeing what happened.
I was thinking about that, too.
Too much. Too risky.
I was thinking about that, too. But yeah,
unless your name's Jeff Hughes.
Exactly. I guess, speaking of Jeff Hughes.
Hey, fight announcement. The boy is going to be fighting, hang on. I forgot his name.
Rafael Pessoa.
Pessoa, yes, in Singapore. Do you know what card that is?
The Jeff Hughes card, now.
Actually, let me look. Let me see if I can find it.
Singapore. Jeff Hughes is going to Singapore. Wow. They're sending this man all across the world.
Right. He said he wanted to travel to the other side of the world anyway, so.
Let's go to the entire left side of North America, and then let's go, like, to the entire left side of the earth.
Oh, that's Damian Maya Ben Askren.
What?
Hell yeah.
He's on the main card, right?
I don't think it's released yet. It doesn't even show him on this card yet. Michael Johnson's fighting Stevie Ray. Cyril Gane's fighting.
Jeff probably ain't fighting for nothing less than main card nowadays.
I hope not.
You got it, Jeff. You got it. Little baby, I'm back and I'm working. Little baby Jeff's back and he's working.
Right.
Shit's stupid.
My feelings are still crushed. But anyway, let's take this card from the bottom.
So it was strictly bars. It was strictly bars.
Yeah, it was.
I had to give it to you.
We're going to be talking like Drake and Pusha T now. He's hiding a kid.
You just hear me fucking.
Taylor just disappears for 9 months.
You hear my fucking car just start up. So, motherfucker, find me in Singapore.
I wasn't hiding my kid from the world. I was hiding the world from my kid. Jesus Christ.
Stupid.
He's hiding a kid. All right, let's get on with this. Okay, very first fight of the night.
Are you sure you didn't hit my blood?
What?
I said, are you sure you didn't hit my blood?
That I didn't?
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain.
Because, boy, we fried.
Fried guys.
Fried guys?
Okay.
All right, come on.
All right, so we had Khalid Taha going up against Bruno Silva, and this was the Khalid Taha show. You remember from last week, though, Bruno Silva was a flyweight who was moving up to bantamweight, and he was quite undersized by Taha.
Yeah. Like
or
you
compared
said,
to Taha.
Like you said, man, the Khalid Taha show. Can't say we didn't know this was coming. We told you guys Taha is going to be bringing the pressure, and turned out that Bruno Silva could not handle it. So Khalid Taha improved his record to 14-2 overall, 2-1 in the UFC. He has now earned 12 of his 14 career victories by stoppage, which includes both of his UFC wins.
Nice.
And then Bruno Silva now 11-4-2 overall, 0-1 in the UFC. He has suffered 3 of his 4 career losses by stoppage. So that makes Slim and I 1-0 to start the night. Woohoo!
Hell yeah. In this next fight, oh my goodness! Nadia Kassem, go to Invicta.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, she's too green right now to be in the UFC.
Bro, first of all, okay, so Jian Kim was just stalking her down the entire night. And every time she threw a punch, it landed and had Nadia Kassem backing up.
Yeah.
Nadia Kassem, however, was doing a great job with her kicks, using them like a jab.
Yeah, right.
She was keeping her at bay. I thought, okay, like she's got a little bit improved striking since we last saw her. No. No. Every time Kim landed, Nadia just like fucking...
By the second round, she was hurt, bro. I mean...
She was just like, didn't know what to do when she got hit. Like she was just curled up.
And Ji-Yeon Kim was living up to that Fire Fist moniker because she was just peppering her with shots over and over and over again. Kassem had no chance of stopping
her. And she was so accurate.
All credit to Ji-Yeon Kim, though. Underrated.
For sure.
She's done nothing but improve since she's came into the UFC. This was definitely her best win, the best we've seen her. She's now 3-1 since she went down to the women's flyweight division in January of last year.
Wow.
So doing a lot better in this division. Overall, now she is 9-2-2, and then she has a 3-2 UFC record. And Nadia Kassem, on the other hand, now 5-2 overall, 1-2 in the UFC. She's now suffered consecutive losses after starting 5-0. And then she suffered both of these losses by stoppage, and last one was by submission, this one by knockout. Just getting worse and worse for Nadia Kassem. Hopefully she either gets it together or, like you said, maybe goes somewhere else and develops a little bit more before coming back into the UFC.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was only on the Australian circuit. Like, she didn't go through Invicta or something like that. So maybe that'll help her. Maybe she can go to where our next loser fought, Ladies Fight Night.
Next loser.
As I mentioned, Zara Farron, who fought in Ladies Fight Night, went against Megan Anderson. And, dude, Megan Anderson, domination.
Yeah, we told you guys last week that Zara Farron Dos Santos, just not very impressive. When you look at the tape, not very good. Came in against a good fighter in Megan Anderson. Is Megan Anderson ranked?
Well, there's no rankings for featherweight.
Got it.
Featherweight.
Okay, so yeah, Megan Anderson comes in. Why? Because they don't have enough fight. Like, probably don't even got like 15.
It's never been ranked.
Wow.
They've had a champ and that's it.
Yeah. Not more you can say. It's just Megan Anderson show. It was Megan Anderson defeating Zara Farron Dos Santos via triangle choke. That was 3 minutes and 57 seconds into the very first round. So Megan Anderson now 10-4 overall, 2-2 in the UFC. 2 victories in the UFC featherweight division are now second most in divisional history behind Cyborg.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Go featherweights. And then
I love this division.
She's got to be tied though, because Didn't Felicia Spencer only have one?
Yeah.
Okay, yep.
She beat Megan Cummins. Or not Megan.
It was Megan.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Megan Anderson's two stoppage victories in the UFC women's featherweight division are tied with Cyborg for most in divisional history. And it sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but I'm not. And then she earned the first triangle choke submission finish in UFC women's featherweight history. Also, that was her first submission victory since 2014.
Wow.
Almost, it was nearly 5 years and 10 fights.
Jeez.
And then Zara Fearn, now 6-3 overall, 0-1 in the UFC. That was the first time she was submitted. I mean, they got to keep putting fighters in the featherweight division, I guess. So maybe she'll stay.
You better start paying these PFL fighters. UFC better start robbing them because they're all going to bounce to the PFL and make a lot more money.
Oh, yeah. So that moves Slim and I to 2-1 on the night. And then we're going on to the lightweight division.
Wasn't Megan the biggest favorite on the card, too?
Yes, she was.
Nice. Going on this next fight. The first fighter from City Kickboxing. You said he was the striking coach there? Brad Riddell making his anticipated debut up against Jamie Malarkey. And wow, did that man perform!
Both of these guys went out there and put it on the line. Yeah, Brad Riddell was the better fighter. But, dude, Jamie Malarkey, what a performance
stud.
Himself.
Yeah, what a stud.
What a chin. Hanging in there, taking the best that Brad Riddell could throw at him. It was just a fun fight to watch, man, and that's why they got themselves $50,000 each fight of the night bonus. Brad Riddell, man, wow, his striking is fucking awesome to watch.
Right, hopping right to the lightweight mix.
I mean, who would be like a good opponent, do you think, next for Brad Riddell? Can't be anybody like too crazy, you know.
No. I mean, we could put him up against O'Madsen, who just fought last week. They're both, what are they?
Wow.
Brad's 7-1, he's 9-0.
Mark O'Madsen versus yeah. Good one, Slim.
Two guys from the other sides of the world.
So Brad Riddell defeats Jamie Malarkey. Those judges had the scorecards 29-27, 30-26, 30-26, all in favor of Brad Riddell.
The first New Zealander to get a win.
Yeah, and that moved him to 7-1, right, you said?
Yep.
Overall, his first win in the UFC. Jamie Malarkey, 12-3 overall, 0-1 in the UFC. That was the first decision loss of his career. So that make Slim and I 3-1 on the night.
Hey, a lot better than last week.
Yeah.
So I actually did not get to see this next fight. You might have to break this one down. We had Callan Potter going up against Maki Pitolo.
So it was definitely a back and forth battle. I thought the first round was Maki. He showed he had the power. His boxing was just great. I mean, definitely had a Max Holloway vibe to it. Poking and prodding, not necessarily going for a knockout punch, but hitting you with volume to the point where you couldn't stand anymore. And he would do a nice job putting like 1, 2, 3 kind of in like maybe like 50%. And then the last one behind it was some good power. It was really, really good boxing by Maki Pitolo. But in the end, dude, Callan Potter just ended up. Well, I feel like Maki kind of got a little bit tired, but credit to Callan Potter. He ended up getting those takedowns and just controlling Maki Pitolo. And that's exactly what he had to do, was go in there and make it ugly and close that range that Maki Pitolo was giving himself with those jabs. And definitely Callan Potter making an on-the-fly adjustment. And that's how he got his first, I believe, UFC victory.
Let me see.
Yeah, that was his first one. So that moves him overall 18-8 with a 1-1 UFC record. He's earned his past two victories by decision after his first 16 all came by stoppage. And then Maki Pitolo, now 11-5 overall, 0-1 in the UFC. That was the first decision loss.
12-5. I got 12-5 for coconut bombs.
Okay. Yeah. We'll fly with that then. 12-1 overall.
12-5.
Yeah. 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 Moving on to the next one.
We had the Celtic kid, Jake Matthews. Haven't seen him in a bit. Going up against Rostam Akhmen.
No.
Rostam Akhmen.
Batman Arkham.
So I didn't know you were allowed to wear sweaters in the ring as men. But
I was taking a drink, but that was funny.
Akhmen surely did. What a hairy fellow.
Definitely the hairiest.
Yeah.
It's because he's... last week I said I think Kurds are ethnic people. It's just people from Kurdistan.
Okay. This fight was definitely the least action-packed on the card.
Yeah.
It was
pretty boring.
Yeah.
It was just Jake Matthews hitting him with volume. I think I called this fight pretty good last week. I think I said this exactly what was going to happen. 30-27s across the board for Jake the Celtic Kid. Matthews defeating Rostam Akhmen. The Kurd.
Eating your curds and whey.
Speaking of, Donald Trump just pulled out of Syria to let Turkey invade them.
What?
And pretty much leaving our Kurd allies that help us beat ISIS. Just leaving that because Turkey considers those type of militias terrorist groups. So they're just going to go in there and fuck up the people who we just basically had beat ISIS for us. And Trump's just like, oh, yeah, whoops. Like, even Trump's, like, staunchest Republican allies are like, bro, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is he doing that?
Because he's a stupid piece of shit, I guess. I don't know.
Fair.
Who else would do something like that?
Right.
Shouts out to all of our Trump listeners who, if you've stayed by now, you don't give a fuck, which is why we like you.
Oh, my God. Yo, I had these two young chicks... who were talking about, like, oh, yeah, fuck Trump at work. And then this other chick who's, like pretty much friends with everyone goes, like, what? I love Trump. He's great. I'm going to vote for him again. And they were just, like, shocked. Like, they instantly lost respect for her. And I was like, that's why you don't bring up politics at work.
Yep.
You never know what someone's thinking outside of this, but...
That's like repping a gang to some people, I guess.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's, like, the number one rule. Don't bring up religion. Don't bring up politics at work.
Yeah.
At all.
Word.
Or our first date.
Which...
Actually, fuck it. If I found out you're a Trump supporter on the first date...
Yeah, we don't need to go on a date anymore.
No need to continue.
Yeah, or if you're my dad, you can just fucking talk about whatever with our fucking people whose houses we go into. Which I guess it's different. You're in, like, a work setting. But Jesus Christ.
Anyway, on to the next fight. Our first heavyweight bout of the evening, we had Jorgen De Castro coming off his... Daniel White Contender Series win going up against newcomer Justin Taffa.
Yeah, we got this one wrong. Like I said last week, have no clue what's going to happen in this fight.
We just picked
the favorite. Yeah, it was Justin Taffa who took a 3-step hop, skip, jump into Jorgen De Castro's right hook.
Dude, Taffa went bowling in, and De Castro said, I'm just going to plant my feet and swing this.
He closed his eyes and just threw as hard as he could, and.
Dude. Taffa was out for a minute.
Wow.
For a whole minute.
No shit, he got a performance of the night. That was, I mean, that was one of the better knockouts I've seen since probably Steven Peterson. When was that, last week or two weeks ago? Yeah, I mean.
Good Lord.
Boy.
Justin Taffa looks like a Spanish version of Tai Tuivasa.
That sounds a little bit racy, but okay.
It was the mustache.
So... 2-1, 3-1.
Yeah, so Justin Taffa falls to 3-1 in his MMA career. Jorgen De Castro stays undefeated, 6-0.
Yeah, me and Slim are 4-3 on the night. We should have picked Jorgen De Castro, and he's been the underdog 2 times. Maybe we should stop doubting him.
I ain't anymore.
We'll see who he gets next. Moving on to the welterweight division.
Diego Lima going up against Luke Jumo. Our first disagreement of the night. I got this one horribly wrong.
Yeah, I kind of thought this would end up happening. Luke Jumeau coming off that long layoff. There's not, you know, many things that Diego Lima can't do inside the octagon. He has great stand-up, great ground game. So, you know, he's not an easy out whatsoever. Now, the fact that this was a split decision.
Whoa. I remember when they announced the first judge's scorecard for Jumeau, me and you just looked at each other like, what? How? Where? Yeah. Why? How?
Yeah, I have absolutely no clue.
What,
I mean,
what rounds did you have him winning?
Jumo won one round.
Maybe.
For sure.
Maybe.
But
maybe,
bro,
the first.
Yeah. But to say that he won that fight, bro.
Nuts.
Get out of here. Just go. Leave. Diego Lima defeated Luke Jumo via split decision. One judge had it 29-28 for Jumo. The others had it 29-28 for Diego Lima. Diego Lima now 15-7 overall, 4-5 in the UFC. He's now 3-2 since he returned to the UFC for that second stint. Slim, pick that bottle cap up.
I will. I can't see it right now.
And that was in July of 2017 when he did that, and he has earned 3 of his 4 UFC victories by decision. Luke Jumo, on the other hand, 13-5, 2-2 in the UFC, and both of his UFC losses are by decision. That moves Slim's little ass back down to 5. Woo! You got it back, though.
Yeah, you thought you were feeling good there, weren't you? Yeah, you thought you were feeling good on the night, huh?
I mean, how, bro, when have you been any higher than 5?
On to the next fight 4. We had... So I don't know. It's fine. Sergey Spivak going up against Tai Tuivasa. Boy!
What the fuck, bro?
Bro!
What the fuck?
Bam Bam's got holes in his game.
He got exposed.
Exposed.
And then?
There was no point in this fight Tai Tuivasa was winning.
No. No.
Not a single point.
I mean, maybe the first, like, 2 minutes when he landed a couple. Like,
yeah, he landed some nice shots, but Sergey had good head movement, getting out of there, covering up nicely. Those judo trips, holy shit.
Dude, just tossing Tai Tuivasa like he's a baby.
35 pounds he weighed in less than him, and he's just throwing him through the air.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then do you think that Tai Tuivasa purposely gave up the arm triangle because he was done?
It kind of looked that way, but I don't know. That's a badass dude.
I mean, it looked like he purposely let him have that arm triangle.
It definitely looked that way because he just
it looked
like
he was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna go
to
sleep.
Maybe that's another hole. Maybe he's just never been in that kind of position. He really didn't know what to do, which is shocking to me. But who knows, man. Dude, Bam Bam fucking
on a,
God.
In a free fall right now.
Literally
a sky
three
fall
fights,
bro.
3 in a row.
He's 10-3 overall, 3-3 in the UFC. Yeah, I mean, like Slim said, 3 straight losses, bro. The first time he's been submitted in his career, just not looking good, man.
Dude, and he was a 4-1 favorite.
Yeah, the second biggest favorite on the card.
Wow.
Then Sergey Spivak now 10-1 overall, 1-1 in the UFC, and all 10 of his career wins are by stoppage.
Really?
Yes.
All right, one to watch out for.
So Sergey Spivak defeats Tai Tuivasa via arm triangle choke, 3 minutes and 14 seconds into the second round. Moving on to the lightweight division, the co-main event of the evening.
The Hangman, Dan Hooker, going up against Raging Al Iaquinta. We got this one right.
Yeah, we thought this was going to happen. I mean, we caught it last week that if there was going to be a stoppage, it would come by Dan Hooker getting a submission. If not, this one's going to go to the judges' scorecards in favor of Dan Hooker. That's exactly what happened. I thought he looked great in this one. Just
awesome. He looked just like Cerrone did.
Yep.
I mean, keeping range, heavy jabs.
Exactly. So he made that call out of Dustin Poirier after he won.
And got shot right down.
Yep.
Dustin said he's looking for an Irishman.
He said, I'm fighting the Irishman.
Ooh.
Which, remember, him and Connor said something about, like, December. They were posting, like, the Santa Claus emojis and talking about December.
There's no big card in December, though. I lied. There's Vegas, but there's 3 title fights. They're not going to fight on the 4th fight of the night with Connor. They're not going to do that.
He's going to be the main event.
Over 3 title fights? Egregious.
A&A MMA sucks, but...
What's in that blood, bud? You're on a roll today. No, we don't, because we picked Dan Hooker. Also, the second City Kickboxing member to win tonight, or of the night... And, yeah, thank you, Dan Hooker, for fucking making me beat Chad in DraftKings.
Dan Hooker helping Slim get $90 at least.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the main event of the evening.
Israel the Last Hellbender Adesanya going up against Robert the Reaper Whittaker.
Damn. So, while I do have to give all credit to Israel Adesanya, because first off, what a performance.
That walkout?
Best walkout of all time?
Ever? Who's done that? Since,
I mean,
they compared him to Anderson Silva in Pride.
The only thing I can think of, like, comparable in the UFC is maybe Conor's walkout in Dublin when he had, what's her name, singing. And he walked out and they had the fucking smoke and shit.
Yeah.
That one was hard. But this was him actually performing.
Dude, he did a dance routine with three other guys. He did the fucking lightning blade into a spirit bomb. When he was getting announced in the cage, he wrote Robert Whittaker's name in his Death Note. If you've never seen Death Note, it's one of the best animes of all time, and it's on Netflix right now. Do not watch the American version. It is trash. Watch the anime. It's got English dubs.
Yeah.
Very good show. Okay. Super good show.
But yeah, that shit's hard.
The rule is, once you write a human's name in the Death Note, if the cause of death is not specified within, like, I don't know, 30 seconds or something like that, that person will die of a heart attack. Boom.
Jeez.
But you have to have that person's name or face in your mind when you're writing it, so two people with the same name won't die at the same time.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Fire.
Yeah, that shit's hard. And,
so hard.
They made that picture afterwards. There was an artist who made a rendition of that.
Woo.
And it had all the people's names that Israel had beaten.
Yeah.
And then it said Paula as the last name.
Are you sure it wasn't a no? I didn't zoom in.
No,
that
it said Paula. Oh, I promise. God. It said Paula. So, as I said, I don't want to take anything from Israel Adesanya. Overall, what a performance. Absolutely amazing. But Robert Whittaker's pride killed him in this one.
Very much.
The just decision to not want to go to the ground because, what, he wanted to prove it to himself that he could win on the feet.
He could be the better striker.
That's not.
No, you can't.
That's not
you
how
you can't
you're,
do that with Israel.
No, that's not how you're going to do this. He had a chance. I mean, even when he started getting tagged and beat up on the feet, he still chose to just keep standing up.
Right.
It was an absolute mental error on Robert Whittaker.
We knew he had the wrestling advantage, and he didn't even try. He
didn't even attempt anything. And I just think that was a fatal error there for Robert Whittaker.
For sure.
And for that, he lost his title. And I'm, like I said last week, I was cheering for Israel. I thought that if Robert Whittaker did that plan that I just said, he would win this fight. But listen, now it's all steam. It's full steam ahead for Israel.
Bro, Israel is the next superstar in the UFC.
I mean,
I guarantee you he's on UFC 4, the game cover.
Oh, 100%.
Guarantee it.
The meteoric rise. I mean, he's going to have signature moves in that game. I mean, just everything. Merchandising. It's going to be crazy.
So, Israel's rise is so comparable to Conor McGregor's. It's insane.
It really is.
They both won the interim belt on their sixth fight in, and they both won the championship on their eighth.
By knockout. Of a legend.
What? But Israel did it quicker.
Yeah.
Took him a year and a half, took Conor two.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's nuts.
He's got John Jones.
John Jones has been tweeting all day. It's fucking Tuesday, 10-8, and John Jones has been tweeting nonstop about Israel all day today. That's all I've seen on my Twitter feed.
That's all he's talking about.
I'm like, bro, stop. Israel weighs 185, and that's it.
Yeah.
He doesn't cut weight.
No.
You're not going to fight him.
No.
Not soon.
I mean, what a mega fight that would be, but.
Yeah. People think Israel might be able to beat him.
Nah.
Not at the, if Israel had 20 pounds on him, maybe 30, yes. I think he could take out Jones.
At light heavyweight?
Potentially.
Bro.
If he had 20 pounds, the body mass difference is what gets me. Like, Israel's so skinny.
He would move so much slower, though, if he put on that much weight. And like,
yeah.
John would just wrestle him to
true.
Death.
But even now, Israel might weigh 190. I doubt he cuts that much.
And John Jones is a better striker than Robert Whittaker.
Yeah.
I mean.
And got more reach. I think Israel's only got 80-inch reach.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know. But, dude, that is insane. So now there is only one division in the UFC whose champion still has the old belt. Do you know who that is?
Amanda Nunes?
Yes. At what weight?
135.
Nope.
145?
Yep.
Cyborgs?
Yeah, she fought Cyborg in 2018, not 2019, so she hasn't got the new belt yet. So she still, that's the only division in the UFC with the old belt.
Who'd
still
she beat
intact
at 135 this year?
Holly.
Oh yeah, that was a bummer.
A bummer.
Yeah. Let's talk about some stuff that Israel Adesanya's done. So Israel Adesanya is now the 13th fighter in UFC history to win an undisputed title with an undefeated record.
Mm-hmm.
He is now the
11th. That list is insane, though. Do you have that? It's like Randy Couture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Khabib. Fucking. That list is insane.
I can find that list, but I'm not going to do it right now. Adesanya became the 11th undisputed middleweight champion in UFC history.
Can you name them all?
Adesanya's 18-fight win streak is now the third longest among active UFC fighters, behind only Khabib and Weili Zhang.
Right. Adesanya's, and then under him is Volkanovski's teammate.
Yeah. Adesanya's 18-fight winning streak is the longest among active UFC middleweights, of course. He has earned 14 of his 18 career victories by stoppage.
Which is nuts, because he had 3 decisions in a row coming up.
Yeah.
So people were like, this dude can't knock people out. Sure he can.
Oh, yeah. And he showed it.
And he's gotten better every fight.
Literally. His 6 fight night bonuses for UFC middleweight fights are now tied for 3rd most in history in the UFC, behind only Anderson Silva's 11 and Robert Whittaker's 7 in a lot less time.
Yeah.
And then Whittaker is now 8-1 since he moved up to the middleweight division 5 years ago. And Whittaker has suffered both of his UFC stoppage losses by knockout.
I have seen a lot of people online, including Jorge Masvidal, talking about like, oh, see, you fight that many times with Yoel Romero, your chin's never the same, you're never the same fighter. It's too early to call Robert washed.
Oh, yeah.
He's 28.
Yeah.
They'll be back there.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, he's...
Like he said, one or two more fights, he's right back
in
there.
He's right in there. Like, it's way too early to say he's washed or that the Yoma fights affected him in any way.
Yeah, no. I totally agree.
Like, Israel's just that good. He's that accurate. It was a perfectly timed strike in both rounds. He knocked him out in the first round, just about. So, I really think it's all accuracy at this point. Also, Israel jumps on the cage immediately following the fight, gives his family all the kisses and all the love, and then turns to Paulo Costa and gives him the double middle fingers.
Double birds.
Ooh. Then on the post fight says he's an overstuffed balloon animal.
An overly inflated balloon animal.
Yeah. And he's a Ricky Martin wannabe. Boy, give me that fight. I found out
You and I called that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. That's what you found out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah,
that's
crazy. I listened back to episode 5 and
like literally though,
for sure.
Like literally, no, we called that. Yes. I mean, so long ago we put this into fruition that Israel Adesanya and Paulo Borrachinha Costa were gonna fight for the title.
It sucks because Israel really is my favorite fighter right now, and it sucks that he's not just mine anymore. Like, because I remember back when you told me like his first fight, like, oh dude, this dude's kickboxing legend. I went back and watched his kickboxing fights. Wow,
stupid bro. When he went into God mode,
still flashy. Still flashy, still cocky, still confident. Yeah. Same as he's always been. He's not changed.
No.
And now people are just starting to realize. Now it's like, fuck. Now you're on board.
People are starting to like Borrachinha and shit too, bro.
Yeah.
We got fucking Zach Wagner hip to Max Holloway. Like before Max Holloway was even champion and shit. Like,
right.
I mean.
Damn.
Yeah.
We've been in the game. No. We've been in this game for a minute.
Right.
Fuck, we are coming up on 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
That's crazy. I love you, Slim.
I'm going to get you a card or something. oh, my God. The Paulo Costa fight versus Israel. That's going to be nuts.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see who you pick.
Also, it was weird. We had a pay-per-view without Dana White being there or Joe Rogan.
Right.
It was different.
I didn't like it.
No. But, I mean, Cormier, obviously, amazing commentator.
Right. So Israel also got himself 50 G's.
Oh, and this event broke the attendance record. We have a new attendance record set.
50, you got it?
57,000 something.
57,127 people. The previous one was 56,214, which was at the same venue at UFC 193.
And that was for Ronda and Holly, who weren't even Australians.
Right.
Nuts.
Great card, like I said. You know, overall, kind of didn't live up. Some aspects didn't live up to, you know, what I thought. You know, I didn't get to see the big knockout by Tai Tuivasa. Holy shit, that Jorgen De Castro knockout was insane.
Wow.
But yeah, kind of the preliminary card on ESPN2, other than that fight of the night, kind of just bland.
I feel it.
The two prelims. All right.
All right.
It was a decent one. Let's give some facts on it. Debuting fighters went 2-5 on the card.
Oof.
UFC 243 drew an announced attendance that we already said, but that live gate made 5,478,345.
That's Australian money, though, isn't it?
Nope, that's U.S. money.
Ooh.
AUD. Betting favorites went 9-2 on this card, and then betting favorites improved to 15-16 because Israel was the favorite.
9-2?
9-2. On the card.
It was a tie, and then I wonder who else lost. So Whitaker wasn't the favorite.
No. Probably Maki Patolo.
Maybe.
I'm sure that's who it was.
All right. Wow.
Because we did pick Nadia Kassem, who was the underdog. Who else did we pick that lost? Who gives a fuck?
So an interesting fact also, this is the first time that two champions from the same country are not American or Brazilian. Kamaru Usman and Israel Adesanya from Nigeria.
What about Weili Zhang?
Two champions at the same time.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. I got what you're saying.
So two simultaneous champions.
I see what you're saying.
From not American and not Brazil.
Yeah, shouts out to Nija.
Nija. Wait, who are the other ones? It's Weili Zhang. And then that's the only other one, isn't it? Oh, Khabib's Russian. Never mind. Yeah, that's it. Nice. All right. Well, we do have a fight card next, this upcoming weekend.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good one. I'm not going to lie.
It is.
Ioana versus Watterson. Yeah. And this is being held in Tampa Bay, Florida.
Yep. Me and Slim can't wait to get into it after a word from our sponsors.
Who's our sponsor? You will never ever know. Bitch. The abyss of crafting. Don't come back here. Turn away, knowing I can't go near. Memorize this. Strict warning from a fucking bastard. Misery lives. Recognize the talents of that makes sense. Another day my bent. Into the mirror I see sight. Reenact its reactions. Duplicate the appearance of passion. Anger is a weapon of destruction. With deep down I strike of my madness. And I'll never leave this state of mind. I've tried, it's useless. It's useless. I remain afflicted. I remain afflicted. Forever suspicious. My tongue is a shovel, it's a deep.
Make a Europe of rebel! Another day my friend! Another day of my suffering to pretend! This shit doesn't kill me. That I'm fighting to love right to misery. My own friends don't visit me. I know why no one ever wants my company. It's all clear. My mirror producer, my master, my secret, my slave, my captor. From birth to death and forever. I won't let you walk away yet. Take your steps as a fucking threat! My warning is a fucking threat! Vision the abyss of crafting. Don't come back here. Turn away knowing I can't go near. Memorize this. Strict warning from a fucking bastard.
Speaking of bitch, Midwest Melting Pots this weekend.
Are you performing?
No. I played last week at the Peach Pit that you didn't come to.
Oh, yeah.
Because all you know is working Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show. It's at the Rialto Theater, which means Chance is actually going to make some goddamn money this time.
Chance ain't giving you nothing.
What? I don't want nothing. I'm just promoting. I'm helping my boy.
My guy.
Hey, yo. My guy. Wow. Yeah, it's going to be good. Everyone else is going to be good. Saturday, this fight. UFC on ESPN Plus 19. Joanna Jędrzejczyk going up against Michelle Waterson for the, I'm assuming, the number one contender spot?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, let's take it from the top. We have J.J. Aldrich going up against Lauren Mueller.
Yeah, an interesting Mueller. One here to start us off. Mueller.
Mueller.
This one's a pretty evenly matched bout. When you look at the tail of the tape, both women are 27 years old. Both are 5'5", and both have 67.5-inch reaches. So identical on everything there. When you look at their records, we'll start with J.J. Aldrich. She is 7-3 overall, 3-2 in the UFC, coming off that tough loss to Macy Barber. She had a solid 3-fight win streak before that loss, though. And then Mueller, on the other hand, she is 5-2 overall, 1-2 in the UFC. She's lost her last two, and her only win is over Shayna Dobson. So, Mueller does only have one submission. Her other four victories are by decision. Aldrich, on the other hand, has two knockout victories with five decisions. Both women have been submitted once, and both have lost by decision once. Aldrich lost twice by decision. Comparing striking and grappling stats, though, Mueller has the advantage in 7 of the 9 major stats that I use here. So, typically, I would kind of start leaning her way. She lands more strikes per minute. She is more accurate. She absorbs less strikes per minute. Their defense is 1 percentile within each other. Mueller has a positive significant strike differential, while J.J. Aldrich absorbs more strikes than she gives out. And then all grappling stats go Lauren Mueller's way. More takedowns, better takedown accuracy, better takedown defense. So, I don't know, man. Like, when I look at that, typically I would start leaning towards Mueller. But when you actually look at it, J.J. Aldrich on the ground, she's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt. On the ground, or I'm sorry, standing up, she's a third-degree Taekwondo black belt. She just has a pretty good overall game. The numbers might kind of lie on this one. I'm going to go ahead and say that J.J. Aldrich edges out Lauren Mueller with volume in this one. I'm taking J.J. Aldrich to defeat Lauren Mueller.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with J.J. Aldrich.
In the next fight, we have the Italian Dream, Marvin Vettori, going up against Andrew Sanchez.
Yeah.
This fight's going to be fire.
El Dirte, brother.
Hey, brother. Marvin Vettori, only 26 years old compared to Sanchez's 31.
Yeah. So Vettori's 6 years younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's going to be a fun scrap. No?
He's 26. That's five years. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this one's going to be a fun one. So all measurements are the same, except I think Vettori is 1 inch shorter than Sanchez.
Didn't Sanchez win the Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah.
Nice.
So let's go ahead and look at their records, starting with Vettori. He's 13-4-1 overall, 3-2-1 in the UFC. And honestly, like, as much as Vettori kind of just like blends into the middleweight fray, his octagon record is better than you'd think. Of course, he's the closest to ever almost beating Israel Adesanya, taking him to a split decision. And then last time he fought, he beat Cesar Ferreira, which was a really, really good win. He has some extremely underrated submission game. He's a brown belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. 8 of his 13 wins have came by submission. Sanchez, on the other hand, is 11-4 overall, 4-2 in the UFC. And he's a good striker. He throws punches in bunches. He's the more active of these two, but he absorbs as many as he throws, while Vettori, on the other hand, has displayed some really, really good striking defense. Mm. So I highly doubt that Sanchez is going to be like trying to do that wrestling domination that he's been doing in his last couple wins. Vettori has shown the ability to get taken down, but like I said, he is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt. He's very strong for this division. I think he won't have too much of an issue getting back up if he needs to. I just think Vettori is the better fighter overall on this night. I'm going to go with Marvin Vettori to defeat Andrew Sanchez.
Give me Andrew Sanchez.
A&A MMA going to disagree. Starting it off right, baby. Let's get it. I'm going with Marvin, the Italian Dream, Vettori. Slim's going with Andrew El Dirte Sanchez. Let's get some odds on these last two fights here. It looks like J.J. Aldrich is currently the -180 favorite over the +150 Lauren Mueller. And then Marvin Vettori is the -300 favorite over the +240 Andrew El Dirte Sanchez. Picks in, Slim.
Going on to the next one. We have Hector Aldana going up against Miguel Baeza. I'm not saying his nickname.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
It's Carmel Thunder.
Oh, that's funny. Mexico's Hector Aldana going up against USA's Miguel Baeza. So this one might not be as much of a mismatch as it seems on paper. Baeza, of course, the highly touted prospect. He is a Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series alum. On the last season, he got his contract. He is 7-0 overall, making that UFC debut against Aldana, who is 4-2 overall, 0-2 in the UFC. Looking at the tail of the tape, Baeza is 4 years younger. He has a 3-inch height advantage and a 2-inch reach advantage.
Wow.
And then once we look at the records, Aldana, like I said, yet to have a win in the UFC after two losses now. And then he will have to possibly use his wrestling in this one to beat Baeza. But from what I've seen on the tape, I just think Baeza could possibly be in for an early KO on this night. I'm going to go ahead and pick Miguel Baeza to defeat Hector Aldana.
Same.
Can I hit that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thanks, Slam.
Yeah.
Moving on to the bantamweight division and a treat.
Ooh. We got Chito Monlevera going up against Andre Uel.
Yeah, so Ecuador.
I don't know why I said Uel.
Ecuador's Chito Vera and USA's Andre Uel. This one is just going to be crazy. This is actually my dark horse pick for fight of the night.
Definitely.
So Marlon Vera riding his hot 4-fight win streak coming into this one. He's got that record of 14-5-1 overall, 8-4 in the UFC. He's taking on Uel, who is 15-5 overall, 2-1 in the UFC. Looking at the records, though, the thing that kind of stands out to me when I'm looking at it, Chito Vera, 3-0 over southpaws. He's only won 2 of his 14 wins by decision, and he's never been stopped.
So that doesn't look too well for Yule. When you're looking at Yule's record, I see that he's 4-1 versus Southpaws. So he also does very well when they're both Southpaws. So he's never been knocked out, but he has been submitted for 2 of his 3 losses. And then let's look at some of the stats here.
You got to think Andre Yule is cutting a ton of weight. 5'11 versus 5'8 at 135.
Right, right. Yeah. What is that one?
Mints. Same as his men.
I don't like that one. Yeah. But yeah. And then Andre Yule also has the 5.5-inch reach advantage as well. But I don't know, man. When you look at the striking stats, it's all Andre Yule, but I don't know. Like, Chito Vera is no slouch on the feet whatsoever, and right. Then once it goes to the ground game, this is where I feel like shit could get interesting, because Chito always going for those submissions. Andre Yule, as I just said, kind of has shown if you're going to beat him, you might as well go for the submission. That's the kind of the way to beat him. Now, Andre Yule does have 100% takedown accuracy, and Chito's is only 41%, so Chito's isn't very good whatsoever. But Chito has better takedown defense, and I don't expect Andre Yule to be trying to take him down very much. I expect him to try keeping it on his feet. If it does go to the ground, I could see Chito locking up a submission. Overall, though, I'm going to go ahead and pick Chito in this one. Give me Marlon Vera to defeat Andre Yule.
Same.
A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Marlon Chito Vera. Let's get some odds on these last couple fights. Marlon Vera is the minus 170 favorite over the plus 140 Andre Yule. And then Miguel Baeza is the minus 200 favorite over the plus 160 underdog Hector Aldana.
This next fight's good too.
Wow.
We have Davison Figueiredo going up against Tim Elliott.
Yeah, Brazil's number 3 ranked flyweight in the world, Davison Figueiredo.
Is this going to be at flyweight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's at 125. And then Tim Elliott still ranked number 6 for some reason. So, yeah.
He's been fighting at 35, I thought, though.
Yeah, he's coming back down to 125.
Okay.
So, anyways, when's the last time that he fought? Like
2017, in December.
21 months ago. Awesome. Wow. So, yeah, in a way, I feel like this fight's going to kind of show the lack of depth that's in the flyweight division. Since we have number 3 going against number 6.
I remember when they announced this months ago, you texted to me like, no, what?
But, yeah, I don't know. You'd think a number 3 fight versus a number 6 fight would be extremely close, but I'm just telling you right now, this one's not going to be. Looking at the tail of the tape, Figueiredo, 1 year younger, 2 inches shorter than Elliott, but he will have the 2-inch reach advantage. Looking at their records, Figueiredo 16-1 overall, 5-1 in the UFC, while Tim Elliott is 15-8-1 overall, 4-6 in the UFC. Not very good.
No.
He, of course, did challenge for the flyweight belt once, and I know for sure Elliott will be able to handle his own on the ground, even though Figueiredo is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, but he needs to watch out for Figueiredo's power, man. When you look at their records, Figueiredo has 8 wins by knockout, so 50% of his wins have came by knockout. He's never been stopped. He's only lost by decision. Tim Elliott's been submitted 3 times and knocked out before. Now, Tim Elliott is pretty active when he's on his feet. He kind of throws more punches and bunches, while Figueiredo really looking for that big punch at all times. Tim Elliott goes for 4.2 takedowns per 15 minutes. That's an extremely high rate.
Wow.
His takedown accuracy is pretty good, too, 65%. While, I don't know, I just think that won't be, I don't know, I just don't see where he can win this fight, honestly.
No, not like, against a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt.
I don't know, I'm just trying to, like, when I think of, like, how he could possibly do it, I can't even think of a path for victory for Tim Elliott, so I'm going to go with Davison Figueiredo to defeat Tim Elliott in this one.
Same.
A&A MMA going with Davison Figueiredo, who is the minus 215 favorite over the plus 175 Tim Elliott.
In this next fight, we have Payne Max Griffin going up against Alex Moreno.
Morono. Yeah, so this one's sure to entertain. Max Griffin is 15-6 overall, 3-4 in the UFC.
Alex Great White Morono, 16-5 with one no contest. Looking at the tail of the tape, Morono only 29, while Griffin's 33. Both men are 5'11", and Griffin will have a 4-inch reach advantage.
Wow.
When you're looking at their records, the thing that pops out to me, Morono has stood much better against his UFC competition. Max Griffin is typically looking for that knockout with 7 of his 15 wins by knockout, while Morono has 6 of his 15 wins by submission. Neither of these men have been submitted, and both has only been knocked out one time. I think this one's going to be a really, really good fight. When we get into looking at the stats here, all striking advantages except accuracy in favor of Alex Morono. And then when you go to the ground, all advantages over to Max Payne Griffin. So I could possibly see Max Griffin trying to like wrestle Alex Morono in this one. But Alex Morono is also a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, so he'll kind of have to watch out for that. I think he'll want to keep this one standing. I think we might see a good standing bout here. I'm going to go with the underdog in this one, Slim. I'm going with Alex Morono to defeat Max Griffin. I just think he's done better in the UFC, man.
Same.
ANA MMA going with the underdog on this one. We're going with Alex Morono. Currently the Max Griffin is the minus 145 favorite over the plus 115 underdog Alex Morono.
What else?
That was it.
And like the rest of the fights that we missed.
I've been on him.
What was Davison Figueroa?
Minus 215 favorite over the plus 175 Tim Elliott.
Huh. Okay. On to this next one, the light heavyweight division, we have Devin Brown Bear Clark going up against Ryan Spann.
This one's going to be a good one.
For Ryan Spann.
Spann is 16-5 overall, 2-0 in the UFC. Devin Clark, 10-3 overall, 4-3 in the UFC.
Was he a champ in LFA, Ryan?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then... Devin Brown Bear Clark was a champ in RFA.
Nice.
The fuck that is. But, yeah, so all tail of the tape advantages going to Ryan Spann. He is 3 years younger, 5-inch height advantage, and has a 6.5-inch reach advantage. When we look at their records, Spann, of course, on that 6-fight win streak, been tearing people up, really finding his groove as of late. Clark probably has fought, you know, better competition. He most recently defeated Darko Stosic in an upset. So when you kind of look at their records here, Devin Brown Bear Clark typically going for the knockout. If he doesn't get that, he's going to typically try wrestling you and getting the decision. Meanwhile, Ryan Spann has 10 submission victories of his 16 wins.
Jeez.
Always looking for that submission finish. Both men have been stopped by submission and KO. So, two KO losses each, one submission loss each. When we go and look at the stats, significant strikes, Ryan Spann much better on the feet. 3.6 landed per minute. He absorbs less than 2.5 strikes per minute. So that's a plus 1 strike differential. Really good right there, while Devin Clark absorbing more than he's putting out. And he is always looking for that takedown. 2.9 takedowns attempted per 15 minutes. He might struggle with the very long, tall, scary Spann. I'm kind of interested to see how this one plays out, but I'm going to go with the streaking fighter on this one. I'm going with Ryan Spann.
Got to.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Ryan Spann.
Dude, this next fight to head the prelims. Whoa!
Slim's recommendation. Following through.
Yeah, I know, right? I said, hey, James Vick, go to welterweight, and here we are. How many fucking months ago was that? That was after his last loss, I think.
He hasn't fought 2 months and 22 days.
That was only 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Are you serious? It felt like way longer.
It's almost 3 months.
Wow. Anyway, yeah, I suggested James Vick move up to welterweight, and here we are! The Executioner James Vick taking on the hybrid Nico Price. Woo! This one's going to be fireworks.
For sure. James Vick, 13-4 overall, 9-4 in the UFC against the electrifying Nico Price. Kill or be killed, 13-3 overall, 5-3 in the UFC. Looking at this tail of the tape here, Vick is 32 while Price is 30.
Vic will also have a 3-inch height advantage, and both men have 76-inch reaches. So
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So looking at the records, Vic is riding that 3-fight losing streak, two of them by devastating knockout, finally making that move to welterweight. He has 8 finishes in his 13 wins and has never been submitted. Price, on the other hand, coming off that tough loss to the talented Jeff Neal, when we're looking at the stats here, all striking advantages going over to the Texecutioner, James Vick. He lands more. He absorbs less. Nico Price absorbs a lot more than he puts out. And the grappling advantages actually all go towards Nico Price. But like I said, the Texecutioner has never been submitted, so I don't know about that. I think this one's going to be a good one, man. I kind of think, you know, I got to look at form on this one. You know, Nico Price coming off that win. James Vick, 3 losses in a row.
Nico's coming up.
Coming off that loss. But he won the one before that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me Nico Price in this one.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Nico Price, who is the -157 favorite over the +127 underdog, James Vick. So I thought we were going to disagree on this one. What's going on?
Why?
Not this fight specifically, but I'm just saying, like, on this card, I thought, you know.
I did my research.
Okay.
sure he did. Next one, Eric, your boy, Ander. This is onto the main card. Your boy, Eric Ander, is going up against Gerald Meerkat Meershart.
I meersharted myself.
No. You want me to stop it? You need to change your pants?
Eric Anders dropping down from 205 pounds.
I called this too.
Yeah. So 2 straight weight changes in a row.
I said, tell that boy go back to middleweight where he is similar sized.
So only one of Gerald Meerschaert's last 13 fights have gone to decision.
Mm.
And 29 of Gerald's 38 fights have ended by submission.
Wow.
Looking at the tail of the tape, pretty much everything's the same except the reach. Gerald Meerschaert will have a 2.5-inch reach advantage. Both these guys won their last fights.
Not your boy.
Eric Anders did. He knocked out Vinicius Moreira.
I lied. Okay.
Get off me.
I was thinking it was Roundtree.
So Eric Anders coming in with his 12-4 overall record, 4-4 in the UFC. Meanwhile, GM3 Gerald Meerschaert is 29-11 overall, 5-3 in the UFC. Both of these guys actually faced Thiago Santos and both lost by TKO.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the records, pretty similar. I mean, both these guys have knockout power. Of course, Eric Anders definitely with more. He has 67% of his wins coming by knockout. Meanwhile, Gerald Meerschaert, of his 29 wins, 21 have came by submission.
Wow.
But he's also been submitted 8 times. Like, he loses by submission
as much as he wins.
Yeah, like, it's so weird. But I don't know. We've seen Gerald Meerschaert eat some really good shots, so I don't know if Eric Anders is just going to come in here and knock him out like people think he might. This one could end, if it becomes a grappling match, it's going to become the Gerald Meerschaert show, so I don't know. Both these guys have negative striking differentials and all grappling advantages except takedowns defended goes to Meerschaert. Meerschaert does not have good takedown defense, but Eric Anders has 75% takedown defense. So I don't know. I think Anders is going to want to keep this one standing. Gerald Meerschaert going to be...
Wow, right into the mic.
Gerald Meerschaert going to be trying to get this one to the ground. I don't know. I think this one's going to be closer than people think. But Eric Anders is like 9-2 at this weight or something like that. Let me see. 11-2 at this weight. Give me Eric, your boy Anders. He's a much better middleweight fighter.
As much as I think you're right, I am taking Gerald Meerschaert.
Ooh.
I expect him to have a very wrestling heavy approach, and I think that's going to get it done.
Oh, ANA MMA going to disagree on this one. I'm going with Eric, your boy Anders. Slim's going with Gerald GM3 Meerschaert.
Why are you calling that GM3?
Because that's his nickname.
What does that mean? Like, he's got 3 E's in his last name?
Probably.
All right, going on to this next one, we have another weight change. The violent Bob Ross, Luis Pena, going up against Steamrolla Matt Provola.
Two really
Jack's
dope
favorite
names.
Nickname. yeah.
Taha.
As I mentioned,
Taha.
Luis Pena. No, wait. I thought he fought his last one at featherweight. Did he move back up in the last couple? He must have, because he's been doing good.
So, yeah, looking at the tail of the tape here, Luis Pena is 3 years younger at 26. He is, oh gosh, let me do my math here, six inches taller than Matt Frivola, and he'll have a five-inch reach advantage.
Yep.
Yikes, that's a lot. Looking at their records, starting with Luis Pena, 7-1 overall, 3-1 in the UFC, been very, very active. Meanwhile, Frivola, 7-1-1 overall, 1-1-1 in the UFC. When you go to their wins and losses, Luis Pena typically looking for that submission. He has 57% of his wins by submission. Matt Frivola, we know he's got knockout power, but he typically tries going for the submission as well, or wrestling, using his wrestling to get the unanimous decision victory. We have seen Frivola get knocked out while Luis Pena's one loss was by decision. When we look at the significant strikes, all Pena, man. He has a positive strike differential while Matt Frivola absorbs more than he puts out. But all grappling advantages go to Steamrolla. He averages three takedowns per 15 minutes.
Ooh.
34% takedown accuracy. Not very good, but better than violent Bob Ross's. And he also has 83% takedown defense. Now, Luis Pena's takedown defense is only 50%. That's not good.
Because he welcomes you to the ground.
True, but...
He's like, dude, get caught in a triangle with my long-ass legs. Let's go.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Steamrolla Frivola puts up two submissions per 15 minutes, too, which is twice what Luis Pena puts out. So he's also going for that submission. Actually, Steamrolla Frivola is a purple belt while Luis Pena is only a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. So I don't know, man. I think this one's gonna be a tough one. Kind of everything that I see on paper kind of points me towards Frivola, but I gotta go with the boy Violet Bob Ross. Come on, what do you mean? Give me Luis Pena to defeat Matt Frivola.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Luis Violent Bob Ross Pena.
In this next fight, we got the...
It's me. I'm back. I don't know. Like, what do you mean? I guess I'm back or, like, whatever. Like, they, like, asked me if I could have my baby and come fight. And I was like, whatever. Yeah, I guess I can.
I think I'm a mom now. And, you know, the ass only got fatter. I don't know. So I saw a tweet today. Apparently, I didn't listen to her interview, but apparently she said at the Ariel Hawati show that she lost 20,000 followers when she announced she was pregnant.
That is hilarious.
If that ain't me, I don't know what other is. Dude, I'm telling you. I like my feed set up with a bunch of music and fights and hot chicks, and I really don't want to see your stages of pregnancy, so I'll probably unfollow you too.
Damn.
I didn't unfollow her, though. She never really did like those, like, 32 weeks, 34 weeks, 36 weeks. She didn't do all that, so. But, yeah, people that do that, miss me with that. I don't want to know.
All right. Well, Mont Kenzie Dern coming back into the strawweight fold.
Which is interesting because, like, okay, you just gained all that weight. Like, are you going to be able to make strawweight? But apparently, she only weighed 120 pounds.
Yeah, she's cool money.
On Monday, which is interesting.
Her hips got a little bit wider. She can drop that weight easier now. So, Mackenzie Dern, of course. Let's look at the tail of the tape first. She's fighting Amanda Ribas, by the way. We haven't even said her name. Both women are 26. Both are 5'3". And Amanda Ribas will have a 2-inch reach advantage. And then we go to the records. Mackenzie Dern, 7-0 overall, 2-0 in the UFC. Amanda Ribas, 7-1 overall. What? Oh, my God, Mom. Get the fuck out of here.
What is she doing?
I don't know. She was, like, trying to scare us or something.
Mm. Dude, and she lost to Poliana Viana.
Yeah, that was her. When was that? Like
2015.
Yeah.
So, and she's only fought twice since then, 2016, and this year she beat Emily Whitmire.
Yeah, so when we look at their records, Amanda Ribas going for the finish at all times. She has knockout power, 3 stoppages by knockout, 3 stoppages by submission, only 1 decision. She has been knocked out, but we know Mackenzie Dern's never had a knockout. She has 4 wins by submission, the other 3 by decision. When we look at the significant strikes, Mackenzie Dern actually lands more and absorbs. She lands more, but Amanda Ribas only absorbs 0.98 strikes per minute.
Wow.
Her defense is off the chain. I mean, she is so good at not taking any shots. And then her grappling, she lands 4.2 takedowns per 15 minutes.
Ribas does?
Yes.
She ain't going to want to do that.
Well, Mackenzie Dern's takedown accuracy is 16%. I would not be surprised if Ribas also attempts 4.2submission attempts per 15 minutes. She's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, just like Mackenzie Dern is.
And
she's a judo black belt.
But there's levels.
Well, I mean, I guess you're right, Slim, but I'm going to go with Amanda Ribas in this one.
I'm going with Mom Kenzie Dern.
ANA MMA going to disagree again. I'm going with Amanda Ribas. Slim's going with Mackenzie Dern.
I got to pee. You can talk about this next one.
All right, cool. Sounds good. So this next one, it was supposed to be Thomas Gifford versus Brock Weaver, the highly touted Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series fighter who was supposed to make his debut, but Brock Weaver pulled out, I believe it was 2 days ago. Today is Tuesday, so that would have been Sunday, and he has been replaced by Mike Davis. Overall, Mike Davis is 7-2. And he has I think he's fought once in the UFC. If I could find it. Yeah, he fought Gilbert Burns and he lost via rear naked choke. So much better matchup for him going into this one against Thomas Gifford, who is 17-8 overall. Of course, fighting out of Factory X Muay Thai with Devontae Smith and all of them. He is 0-1 in the UFC as well. He fought Roosevelt Roberts in his last one. Took him to decision, though. I think this is going to be a good one, but I just think Mike Davis is going to have a little bit too much strength for Gifford. Gifford is really good on the ground, but I think Mike Davis is going to be looking for some power punches in this one. I think he gets it done. I'm going with Mike Davis. Slim.
Wait, what happened to Brock Weaver?
He pulled out 2 days ago.
Fuck.
He's been replaced by Mike Davis, who I'm picking to beat.
I didn't know that.
To beat Thomas Gifford.
Let me look at Gifford. What's he looking like?
What's he looking like? He's 17-8. Lost his UFC debut to Roosevelt Roberts. You know what I'm saying? Has a pretty good submission game. Might be trying to pull off some triangles against Mike Davis. Lost to Tony Martin back in the day, 2013.
Fuck it, give me Gifford.
Wow.
What do you mean, wow? He's 17 fucking
days. A&A MMA just going off the rails today. Slim's going with Thomas Gifford, the young lion. I'm going with the boy, Mike Davis.
On to the co-main event. I don't know about this one at all. We got Cub Swanson going up against Cron Gracie.
Yeah.
We have a fighter who's had 36 fights going up against a fighter who's had 5.
Yeah.
Now, Cron Gracie is a crazy jiu-jitsu champion. However, in MMA, he's a bit underexperienced.
Yeah.
Only started in 2014.
Cub Swanson, of course, is on that 4-fight losing streak.
True.
Been struggling pretty bad as of late.
looking at the tail of the tape, Kron is the taller fighter. He's 4 years younger than Cub, but reach is the same. Now, looking at the records, like Slim said, it's really easy to just kind of judge by, you know, experience. But listen to this one, Slim. These guys did fight the same guy in 2016.
Oh?
They both fought Katsuya Kawajira. Kron Gracie submitted him. Cub Swanson went to decision with him.
Oh.
So, looking at their UFC records, Cub Swanson is 10-7 overall. I'm sorry, 10-7. He's 25-11 overall, 10-7 in the UFC. Kron 5-0, just 1-0 in the UFC. All wins by submission. Cub, on the other hand, 11 wins by knockout, 4 by submission, 10 by decision. But listen to this one. This is the one that got me. The most loss, so Cub has 1 knockout loss, only been knocked out once, 3 decision losses, 7 submission losses.
Hmm.
He's been known to get caught in some submissions.
Right.
I'm sure he knows what he needs to train for here. He lands almost 4 more strikes per minute than Kron. He's a lot more accurate. Kron only strikes with 20% accuracy. Not very good whatsoever.
Doesn't even try.
But Kron does have really, really good strike defense in his in his favor. He only absorbs 1.9 strikes per minute. That's 71% strike defense. Pretty good. He averages 7.1 takedowns per 15 minutes.
Man's in there.
Cub Swanson's takedown defense, 60%.
Mm.
Kron also attempts 7.1 submissions per 15 minutes, bro. Absolutely crazy. Don't forget, though, Cub is also a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, and he's a judo black belt.
Really?
Just like Kron is, except Kron's a first-degree black belt and a judo black belt. I don't know, man. Like, I can see Cub possibly pulling this one off. But I got to go with Kron Gracie, man. I just got to go with the Kronster in this one. He's going to have the Diaz brother and his probably Nate in his fucking corner.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Let's go with Kron.
You know, it'd be fun if Kron Gracie won this and then went up and fought Nick
Diaz.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Not Nick. Ryan Hall.
Oh, that would be fire.
That'd be a great fight.
Yeah, that would be fire.
Like, what? We got the fucking... Ooh.
Ooh-wee.
Ooh-wee.
Getting on to this next one.
The main event of the evening, Joanna Jędrzejczyk going up against Michelle Waterson. Okay.
Okay.
So this has to be for the number one contender spot at this point.
Definitely.
Michelle Waterson has been on an absolute roll this year and last.
Joanna, meanwhile, 1-3 in her last 4 fights.
Right. And the one she beat was Tisha Torres, who's been on her own losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Did we just witness the fall of this champion? Wow, it'll be interesting to know because, like I said, Michelle Waterson is on an absolute roll. She's on a 3-fight win streak right now. Courtney Casey, Felice Herrig, and Carolina Kowalkiewicz, which was one of her most impressive wins to date.
Yeah.
Besides the Paige VanZant win. Oh, man. I love this matchup.
I do, too. It's going to be an interesting one because we're going to get to see Joanna's Muay Thai versus the Karate Hotties Karate.
Plus, she's dropping back down from 125.
Yeah, yeah, going back to her original division where she reigned supreme
for so long.
She was She's 9-2 at this weight. I don't know, man. This one, I can see the Karate Hottie possibly pulling this one off. I mean, she has really good grappling. She averages 2.1 takedowns per 15 minutes. She has good accuracy with it. But Joanna has 80% takedown defense. She's not going to let you take her down, and she's never been submitted. So I don't think Michelle Waterson would be going in there trying to, you know, submit.
No, not at all.
Joanna. On the feet, though, of course, we know Joanna's activity is off the chain. 6 strikes landed per minute. Only 2.7 absorbed per minute. 65% strike defense. She has a plus 3.3 strike differential. That's stupid.
Wow.
I just think Joanna is refocused. I think she's going to attempt to make another run at the title And it's going to have to start here. Give me Joanna Jędrzejczyk to beat the karate hottie Michelle Waterson. Come on, Slim. Give me something.
For our second main event disagreement, jeez. I'm going with the karate hottie boy.
This dude Slim is off his rocker tonight,
bro.
Let's
go. I'm feeling the fucking vibes.
Wow. You are off your rocker tonight. Wow. All right.
Let's go.
So A&A MMA disagreeing on this one. I'm going with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Slim's going with the karate hottie, Michelle Waterson.
It's Jędrzejczyk.
Jędrzejczyk, Jędrzejczyk. It's Jędrzejczyk.
What?
Jędrzejczyk. All right. So how do you think Michelle Waterson gets it done, Slim?
Unanimous.
She out wrestles her, or I mean, like, how
does just out, I feel like she's just kind of out point her. I feel like she's going to be able to stick and move, maybe even slam some takedowns and get in that side control ground and pound like she's been in her last few.
Right. Okay.
With fuck the judo, hey,
ANA MMA disagreed today on Marvin Vettori versus Andrew Sanchez. We disagreed on. We both took Alex Morono, right?
Yes.
We both took Ryan Spann. We both, Slim took Gerald Meerschaert. I took Eric Anders.
Mackenzie Dern.
Slim took Mackenzie Dern. I took Amanda Rivas.
Thomas Clifford.
Slim took Thomas Gifford. I took Mike Davis. Slim took Michelle Waterson. I took Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Wow.
Wow. Make or break.
If you sweep me, you're in the lead.
Make or break.
So a lot of disagreements on this one. We'll see how it plays out.
I feel
out,
like a betting man.
Slim will maybe drop a DraftKings special for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
He won't.
No, I don't know who to. I'm just gonna pick whoever's looking nice.
Whoever's looking good or whatever.
on the money. I was telling people at work that I would won all that money, and they were like, "What? They have DraftKings for MMA? You put a draft in MMA?" And I was like, "Yeah, dude, it makes sense."
It's not like technically a draft.
Kind of. But people who bet last weekend, I could not believe how many people picked Sergey Sapovic being the 4-1 underdog.
Sergey Spivak?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And those were the people that won the most money.
For sure.
But it's like, why would you...
It's like, just a money thing and people put so many lineups in.
Like, but I wonder what their win-loss ratio is. Like, the people that pick the way underdogs like that. Even though I picked one tonight. But, nah.
Nah. You actually picked a good amount of underdogs.
What's the odds for the last few?
So, Joanna is the -400 favorite over the +300 Michelle Waterson.
Okay.
Kron Gracie is the -180 favorite over the +150 Cub Swanson. They don't have odds on the Mike Davis, Thomas Gifford, but Brock Weaver was the -255 favorite over Thomas
Gifford.
Yeah,
I was excited for that. That sucks he pulled out. He was even tweeting the other day, like, oh, yeah, you're going to know my name after this fight. It's shitty.
Yeah. And then Mackenzie Dern is the -140 favorite over the +110 Amanda Ribas. Eric Anders is the -165 over the +135 Gerald Meerschaert.
What about Pena and Frivola?
Pena is the -170 favorite over the +140 Matt Frivola.
Nice.
So, yeah, we'll see how it goes down. Me and Slim will keep you updated on that.
Hell yeah.
Let's see if there's anything good in the news.
New news, everyone.
You know what? Slim and I, for our countdown to 100, starting on episode 95, so not the next one. We're going to use some planning. But for the last five until 100, well, you know what? We're going to do... No, we will start next week, because next week will be 94. We'll go up to 99, and then we'll have the 100 episode blowout. But me and Slim will be ranking... just stuff overall. Like, me and Slim are going to rank our top five goats. Me and Slim are going to rank our top five fights of all time. Our top five strikers of all time. Submission artists of all time. Shit like that.
Okay. I like that.
We'll figure out exactly what we're going to do. But starting next week, Slim and I will have lists
and we will pick each other's apart and argue with them and say what we agree with, and it'll be fun. It'll be something different.
I like that. Next week, you said?
Starting next week.
Okay. We're going to do different something every week leading up to 100?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's like one a week?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So Adesanya opens as betting favorite over Paulo Costa. Not by much, though. Not by much.
What? There's not even a venue or nothing.
But they know that fight's happening.
Wow. Hector Lombard signs with Bare Knuckle FC.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
That is interesting.
Adesanya is the minus 175 favorite over the plus 150 Paulo Costa.
Wow.
Boratina.
Apparently, Alexander Gustafsson is stepping his toe in the water a little bit. He's competing in a grappling tournament this weekend. So that'll be interesting. We'll see if he can get his mind back in.
Diego Lima is filing an appeal that his split decision victory should be unanimous.
I saw that too, and I agree. But at the same time, it's like, who gives a shit? You still won.
You still won.
And what's the point? Anthony Johnson doesn't want any fake-ass BMF belts or SMF belts. I don't know what the SMF was. He just wants a heavyweight crown, so I'm glad Anthony Johnson is back in this mindset of like, yo, I'm the best.
Yeah, definitely. Daniel Cormier went out and said that Israel Adesanya striking would give John Jones problems.
Ooh.
Little pick in there by DC.
Interesting. Let me see if this has anything to it. New matchups. Kevin Holland steps in to fight Brandon Allen.
Ooh, that'll be a good one.
In Boston.
Wow, that's going to be a good one.
I like that a lot. That's Bellator. Who cares?
You're crazy. You're crazy.
Jeff Hughes is on here. That's cool. Talking about the Rafael Pessoa fight. Muslim Salikov fights Loriano Staropoli.
Loriano Staropoli.
Yeah,
nice.
In Singapore. Hell yeah.
That's cool. That's a good one.
I like that.
Jorge Masvidal said that the UFC protected Israel Adesanya from Yoel Romero.
No. Not really.
Yeah. I mean, Yoel could still possibly get back.
It was just different paths to the title.
Right.
And Yoel lost both of his chances.
Right. So.
I mean, he could have won the belt if he made weight and beat Rockhold.
Yeah.
He had his chance. What do you think about Kevin Lee versus Gregor Gillespie? I think this is one of the most interesting fights that they've made in the lightweight division in a long time. This is going to say a lot about either fighter.
I think it's going to be Gregor Gillespie.
Me too, but...
I think it's going
to
be a great one. Because
Kevin Lee was like, oh yeah, moving to welterweight, it's going to be great. Nah, we saw what he looked like there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting matchup. I mean, they're both going to be really, really close in kind of both aspects of the game. So, striking and grappling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This should be a good one. Charles Oliveira versus Jared Flash Gordon.
What is it?
Charles Oliveira versus Jared Flash Gordon.
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one because I don't know if Charles Oliveira will be able to submit Flash Gordon.
Right.
It's going to be a good one.
So Sergio Pettis opted out of his contract. He did not re-sign with the UFC. He's now a free agent.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, because he was supposed to fight Brandon Moreno. Or no, he's supposed to fight Kai Kara France coming up in Las Vegas. And instead, Brandon Moreno now steps in to fight Kai Kara France, which I think is a way better fight for Kai Kara France. Mm-hmm. But where will Sergio Pettis go? There's not really that many featherweights out there unless you go to one fighting championship.
That's probably where he's trying to go,
I'm sure.
Honestly. I wouldn't be surprised if that's kind of what he has his eyes on.
Yeah. That's about all the news that I got.
ANA MMA signing off for this week. We'll be back next week with a list.
Hey, with a list. We're going to come back with a list of two. You know, we're going to put five of the names on that list, one of us a piece, and we're gonna dispute the list.
Fucking stamp it.
What? Call it now. Which one are we doing? Knockouts or what?
Next week, Slim and I say we cap it off with who our top five best fighters of all time are.
Best fighters of all time?
Of all time.
Fuck, dude.
Next week, we will do the five best submission artists to ever fight in the UFC.
Okay, I like that one.
Top five submission artists.
Coming what do you next think? Week. What do you think? Who do you think is the front runner to be Fighter of the Year? Ariel Helwani put out a post. He had three names. I want to know your opinion if you didn't see it.
I didn't.
Jorge Masvidal.
Okay.
Henry Cejudo and Israel Adesanya.
Probably Israel.
But what if Jorge like violently destroys Nate Diaz?
Well, then that changes it.
Exactly. I mean, I've yet
because
to see.
Because he beat Darren Till, Wonderboy?
By knockout.
It was Wonderboy, right?
What?
Masvidal?
He never beat Wonderboy.
Who was the second person? Oh, yeah, it was
Ben Askren.
Till and then Askren, and yeah.
So he two knockouts in a row. Israel, knockout, decision knockout. And then Henry Cejudo, knockout, then TKO.
Right.
But Cejudo will never compete again this year. Jorge Masvidal, we still have to see what he does against Diaz. And then Israel, dude, three on the year?
Yeah.
In my opinion, he's the front runner. He's in there.
I don't know. That's a good one, though.
We'll see what happens in the Jorge Masvidal one, though.
We'll see when the A&A meets come out.
Oh, the prestigious A&A meets. The most prestigious award show.
The third installment.
Bro, we should just start DMing fighters like, hey, bro, you're up for an A&A meet. Can you send us a little submission?
We got Sean O'Malley the one time when we were like, he was on playing Fortnite.
I know.
Like,
you should have screen capped that or something. Yeah.
I was like, you want an A&A me? He was like, I want an A&A me. Dope.
Where is that man? Get that man in the ring.
Right.
Supposed to come back in December. I was hoping for the December 14th card, but...
I don't know, man.
I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, I really hope it's soon, though.
Anyways, same MMA, signing off. I love you.
Hold on. I wanted to give some shout-outs real quick. First of all... shout out to my cat Spyro. And yeah, that was really the only one I had.
Damn.
Love you, buddy. See you when daddy get home.
I hate your guts. Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.